Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, I'm working on your financial freedom. I just came back from a trip where I went to the left coast of America. Yeah, I went all the way out to California. I went out there to pay my respects to a man that passed away at the age of 51. Yeah, this is a guy that I met in the military. He served with me. He was just the kind of guy that had an infectious personality, not the kind of infectious personality that you want to avoid. The infectious personality that, hey, I could be friends with this guy. And I went back there and I was a little concerned. I've been out of the military environment for a very long time. And I didn't know what to expect when I went back to this memorial service. So when I went back there, almost everybody didn't recognize me because I look a little different now. Now, I didn't gain like 900 pounds or anything like that, no. But I'm a little older. I have more gray in my hair. I actually have more hair on the top of my head because I don't have to get that razor high fade anymore because I'm not in the military. And I have something called facial hair. Yeah, I got this like beard and mustache thing that covers up the lower portion of my face. And apparently, when you put a mask on top of that, nobody can recognize you. Yeah, nobody recognized me. It was kind of cool. It was kind of like being Secret Agent Man rolling through this ginormous event where we sent off Sergeant Major Billy Wilson. We sent him onto eternity. Paid respects to the family. I told his wife, Teresa, that we're going to give it about a week. And in about a week's time, I'm going to give her a call. And we're going to talk about how we're going to set her up, provided that's something she's interested in doing. We're going to get her set up so that she can invest correctly in real estate assets. Yeah, I'm basically going to completely rock her world because I'm going to show her something nobody's bothered to show her. I'm going to show her financially how the monies that have been made available because Billy passed on, how those monies can be put to work for him and for the family and start developing something called passive income. See, Billy was one of these guys that was just like me. Now, okay, he wasn't just like me. He was better looking. He was taller. He was a little bit bigger. And man, I'll tell you what, when you did combatives with that guy, he would throw a left forearm at you when he'd get you down in the mount. And it, you know, you would just kind of pray that you kind of get knocked out because then at least the pain would stop, right? But at the end of the day, Billy was one of these guys that he would fight you really hard because he wanted you to understand that you have to fight really hard if you ever find yourself in that kind of position. That's just the kind of guy Billy was. So what I have pledged to do for his family is to introduce them to this world that I'm a part of, this world called Lifestyles Unlimited, where members assist members. It's such a really cool thing. As a matter of fact, I was doing my show prep today, and you know, I want to get into some very specific markets out there because what I want you to fully understand, and this is something that just kind of hit me square in the face when I was out in California, and seeing all these people I had not seen in a very long time, rekindling friendships with some of my comrades that I served with. I mean, it's pretty amazing. And here's the concept that just hit me in the face. Live where you want, invest where you want. Yeah, it was made clear as day to me. Because while I was in California, I stayed with a couple of different friends. Now, every one of my friends owns a house that actually is worth more than the house that I own in Texas. Yeah, they're worth more because when I stayed at their house, you know, I'm a sneaky little guy. I pulled up that Zillow stuff. I was curious about what was going on. I checked what the transaction histories were on the house. And I realized that my friend Doug, who, by the way, was my best friend in high school, and as far as I'm concerned, he's still my best friend. He's living in a house in Southern California that is worth well over $1 million. And when he bought it 12 years ago, he paid like $500,000 for it. And he got a good deal because he bought it in 2009 when the real estate markets were kind of rocked. So in a period of what? How many years is that? 12 years? Maybe call it 13? That property has essentially doubled in value based on appreciation. And a lot of you would think, man, that's a good deal. That's why you're supposed to be investing in California. But here's the short answer. That house that went up, but basically it doubled in value. I'll call it what it is. It doubled in value in 9 years, but it's not an investment property because Doug lives in that house. He lives in that house. He is consuming that house. As a matter of fact, over the time period that he's owned it, that house has experienced something called a little bit of deferred maintenance. And now that Doug's kids are both grown up, they're both beautiful adults, and they're out there doing adult things across the country. One's on the East Coast, one's on the Northern West Coast. Doug and his beautiful wife, Florence, have found themselves as empty nesters. So they're living in this almost 1,700 square foot house, two-story, corner lot, right across from a magnet school, which is really cool because you don't have anybody living on that side of the street. Oh, I forgot, two-car garage. Okay, so it's the model home, right? I mean, this is the dream home, right? So one of the things that he had to do was remove a pool. That cost him a lot of money to take a hole that was put into the ground, out of the ground, and fill the hole back up. And in doing so, he had to do a lot of masonry work to meet code requirements. There was an expense for that. He has to do the roof. That roof, he told me, he said, I think that roof's been on there since this house was built. Now, this particular house was built in 63. It was built a year before I was. That thing, holy smokes, I'm 57. That was a 58-year roof, Doug? Oh, yeah, that's got to go. So there's an expense for that. We come back from the break. I'm just going to hit you with the remodel project that he's doing. Now, keep in mind, Doug thinks it's an investment. We're going to share why it's not. Stick around.
Del Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. In 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started at 87 go, you know, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% on a savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, well, what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. All right. So I'm telling you about my experience down in Southern California, hanging out with my high school best friend, Doug, and his beautiful wife, Florence. And they're doing some rehab. They're on a major rehab project regarding the house they live in. Now, we've kind of had a conversation about whether or not that's an investment. And their side of the argument leans towards, yes, it is an investment. And here's their argument. They bought the house for about $500,000 when the real estate markets were tanking in 2009. Doug made a great decision to buy that house. I'm not saying that he did anything wrong. As a matter of fact, I applaud what he did. I applaud that he recognized that the housing market was doing what it was doing, and that if he was going to jump to a bigger property, because trust me, the house he had been living in was even smaller than this house. It was like a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, 1-car garage with a 1-car driveway, but they had like 3 or 4 cars in their house, and it was like a massive parking problem in their neighborhood. Okay, so back in 2009, he just said, you know what, we're dumping this one, we're buying that one, we're trading up. And in the last 12 years, the properties literally doubled in value. Now, I will tell you, a lot of that appreciation came the last couple of years. It really did. But there is no denying that the house doubled in value. So you're probably thinking to yourself, well, okay, that proves, Al, that that is a great investment that Doug made. This is where I'm going to disagree with you. Even though that house has gone up in value, and even though Doug and Florence didn't do anything to cause that appreciation to happen, it's not really an investment because that property isn't paying them anything. Yeah, there's no cash flow component to them living there. Now, some people would say, well, come on, Al. They've got a fixed mortgage on the property, so it's not like their monthly payment goes up. Well, okay, well, let's talk about taxes and insurance. Okay, those two things will cause your payments to go up because they will adjust annually. It's just the way those products work. And by the way, you have to pay the taxes or you don't get to own the property. And you really need to have the insurance because without the insurance, you're not going to get the loan. Oh, and by the way, you really need the insurance because it's there for a very specific reason to make sure you don't get damaged. And at the end of the day, you might think, okay, well, their cost of living is kind of balanced. Okay, you might have cost of living increases. Got it. But it's not like they're going out and renting. This is true. So there is a component to where their expenses in their household are holding at a certain place. Okay. Having said that, controlling your expenses purely is not an investing mechanism that's going to make you money. And again, this property that they're living in, they have been consuming. They consumed that thing since they bought it in 2009. And right now, they're throwing a bunch of money at the property because one of the things that they realized is that when they looked at some of the comps in the area, if that house were fixed up, and if it were fixed up correctly, we saw comps that indicated it could be valued at around $1.4, possibly $1.5 million. Now, you're thinking right now, really, Al? It sounds like Doug and Florence are about ready to have their asset triple in value. Yeah, they are. They absolutely are. But here's the thing. They still have debt on the property. They have refinanced that property and used some of that money for some other things. I believe they're using some of that money to do the rehab on the property. So the equity balance is also shifting up. Okay, so they're kind of using the house as a piggy bank a little bit, all right? And I'm not saying that's bad, but that money is going to other areas that have nothing to do with investment. And the $100,000 that they're budgeted to do this major rehab on this property, and trust me, when they get it done, this thing's going to pop. This thing is going to be beautiful, okay? It'll probably get that value to $1.4, $1.5 million. But here's the problem. What do you do with the equity? What do you do with all the equity that you're sitting on in this property? Because when you think about it, at the end of the day, their equity levels are probably going to be at maybe 40 to 50% of value. Okay, maybe even higher. It could possibly be as high as 60%. And that's equity sitting in a property that's not doing anything. It's just sitting there. And that property, again, is not generating cash flow. So for them to get at that equity, one of two things has to happen. They have to go out and refinance the property, so they have to be willing to take on additional debt. Now, I would encourage them to do that, but only if they're going to use that money to invest, and to invest correctly. I'm not saying throw it in the 401k. That's dumb. I'm not saying put it in your IRA. I think that's dumb too. I'm not saying go out and, you know, get yourself a day trading gig and, you know, take a couple courses and see how you do. I think that's dangerous. What I'm saying is I think you need to put it in real estate. And again, I'll use that dumb word. I know people don't like me saying that, but I think it's dumb to just invest in real estate without receiving a proper education and without surrounding yourself with like-minded individuals that are going to help you understand the complexities of investing in real estate and break down all those barriers for you. Now, here's the beautiful thing about real estate investing even though there are complexities and things that you have to understand, it's not like taking calculus. Yeah, remember calculus? Yeah, yeah, that was a mind hurt, wasn't it? At the end of the day, if Doug and Florence don't refinance the property to take money out, the only other way they're going to get at that equity is to sell the property. Yeah, you heard me correctly. Now, they're going to have to sell their principal residence. Now, a lot of you are thinking, hey, that's not really a big deal, bro, because they've lived there for two of the last 5 years, so they're going to get a tax break, right? Yeah, that tax break gets out there. For a married couple, you get to exclude $500,000 of capital gains. Let's do the mental math here. Let's say they bought the property for $500,000. Let's say they refinanced the property somewhere down the road. But in the process of refinancing the property, they used the money for something other than improvements on the property. They're pulling equity out. It's a non-taxable event, but their basis in the property is still around that $500,000 mark. Now, they're going to put about $100,000 in renovations into this property. So you get to add that onto the basis. Are you following me? So now their basis is maybe around $600,000. Now, they're not taking depreciation or anything on this property because, again, it's not an investment, right? So there's no depreciation write-offs. So they're probably sitting at about a $600,000 initial value. If they sold the property for $1.1 million, which I think they could do right now without finishing the repairs, I know somebody would probably come in and swoop this thing up. Especially since they know, okay, if they do $50,000 to $100,000 worth of repairs, they could potentially get, what, $200,000, $300,000 in equity? Doug and Flop aren't going to do that. But remember, a $500,000 is protected.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
We're in a situation right now where people are buying assets, big assets, large apartment complexes, expensive homes, massive amounts of real estate as a hedge. And what are they hedging? They're hedging inflation because real estate is a inflation hedged asset. It goes up when everything else goes up. Now, the reason why real estate is so good as a hedge is because unlike gold, which may go up and down with the value as inflation occurs, it doesn't put off any income. And so real estate is producing income. It's producing rental income for the people that are doing it the right way. So whether or not my asset goes up or whether it doesn't, I'm hedged because I'm going to get income either way. Now, if there's massive inflation, then my asset keeps up with inflation.
Stick around.
Lifestyles Unlimited member Kirby talks about his experience at the two-day Financial Freedom Seminar.
2008 was my first full year as a financial advisor. 2009, stark contrast, my paychecks went down about 80%. I started looking for avenues to grow my wealth, grow my income. I found Lifestyles Unlimited. I joined in 2010. I started investing in both single family and multifamily. Between 2010 and 2015, I bought 5 houses. The two-day class, they teach you to buy 4 houses to make your first $250,000. I bought 5 and I made about $60,000 each. That was another $300,000 that I made because of real estate.
You've heard us and our members on the radio. Now join the Lifestyles Unlimited team in a city near you or online from the comfort of your own home for the Financial Freedom Seminar. GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Use promo code 2022. Save 60% off the regular price, plus get a second year of membership for free. Register now at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential. Register today at GiveMeTotalFreedom.com. Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So I was getting a little long in the mouth in the last segment because you know I do that. I get into the financial stuff and I kind of get just going. And if I left you behind, I did not mean to do that to you. Okay, I did not mean to do that. So let's kind of recap a little bit. Let's get everybody back into the classroom and let's understand what Doug and Florence are facing. Doug and Florence will probably not refinance that property in the future? Probably not, because I think they understand that any money they take out of that property and they spend on anything that isn't an investment really is just taking money out of a property and buying stuff with it. And just buying stuff doesn't get you to retirement. Let's just be absolutely crystal clear. So chances are what's going to happen is they're going to sell the property. Now, they are currently empty nesters. They are living in a four-bedroom house, which is the two of them. Yeah, they got all this like extra room, and they're putting a lot of money into this property. Their intention is to probably stay where they're at for a little while, and there's a couple of reasons for it. Number one, Doug is an engineer. This guy is the best of the best. Trust me, this guy has always excelled at things in life, and he did exactly what we were told to do. He went to school, got good grades, got into a good college, and then got into another good college, and he got all these engineering degrees. Now he's like one of the smartest men in the world. Yeah, although when we were talking, he admitted that he knows a couple other guys that are even smarter than him, which I couldn't fathom. But getting back to this, Doug is probably not interested in selling right now because he's the same age as I am. He's still working. He's still in corporate America. Now, he makes good money. Don't get me wrong. He makes good money. But he trades time for money. So remember, there's somebody with a leash on him, if you will, that controls his time and controls things that he does in his life. Does that make sense? I broke away from that when I joined Lifestyles Unlimited in 2017, and then I completed the process in 2019 when I realized that I had developed enough passive streams of income, and those passive streams of income were enough to allow me to step away from a job that was a dead-end job. Now, Doug is not in a dead-end job. As a matter of fact, we had a very cool conversation till the wee hours of the morning the night before we left, because I just wanted to know what's going on in his world. And he is one of those very few people out there that actually enjoys what he's doing. So when I proposed to him, hey man, you know, we could wreck your 401k, we could sell this asset, where we could cash out some money, we could take that money, we could buy you some apartment communities and stuff like that, and there's a pretty good chance you could step away from what you're doing in engineering. He didn't like that so much. No, he's one of those very few people that actually enjoys what he's doing. He's one of those few people in the world that is actually credentialed to do what he does. All right. So he's a brilliant man, and he's pretty much got himself a job where they can't afford to lose him. So I just want you to understand the safety and security Doug has in his corporate job. He actually works for an organization where he actually has some of that. I know most of you don't have that. Or if you did, it's eroded, right? Here's the thing. Doug would have to consider leaving his job. However, his employer had figured out, well, they were kind of figuring out prior to the pandemic, that they didn't need all these buildings for people to come and assemble in and do something called work. And what they learned during the pandemic was that they could shift the burden of supporting all that infrastructure back onto the employees, have them provide the power, have them provide the internet service, have them provide a lot of that cost, and they can still do the work. As a matter of fact, let me share something with you that Doug told me. Now, I'm not going to tell you who he works for because I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag, but he told me implicitly productivity actually improved during the pandemic. Now, I kind of argued, okay, well, maybe it's because you had a captive audience. People couldn't go anywhere. And he said, yeah, that might have something to do with it. But he also said, you know what? None of those people have to get in their cars in Southern California and fight Southern California traffic to try and get to their place of work on time, to try and do the things that they have to do throughout the day so that they can get back in their car, fight traffic going back home. By the time they get home, they're just so burned out and frustrated, it ends wash, rinse, and repeat for them. But when they allowed all these employees to telecommute, that stress went away. Now, there were other stresses because we were in a pandemic, but they didn't lay anybody off. So what I suggested to Doug was, can you do your job from anywhere in the world? And he said, well, actually, I could. I said, well, do you have to physically go into an office location? He says, well, from time to time, I might have to. I said, well, how many offices do you guys have across the United States? And he said, well, we probably have one just about every state. Well, there you go. And then if we get you to a place where we take all this money you have and we repurpose it and we start developing you passive income, we'll get you to that place of retirement so you don't have to worry about money anymore. And then here's the beautiful thing, Doug. You keep working. And all the stresses that remain regarding the fact that you're working, they're going to melt away. Because one of the biggest stresses is, I can't afford to lose my job because what am I going to do next? And Doug's talented. Trust me, if the company he works for said, you got to go, I think there's like a couple of other companies that would wine and dine him. But here's what I want for my best friend. I want him to experience what I experience because I don't have to do that anymore. And when I went back to California, it hit me just dead in my face, especially when I went to the memorial and saw all my fellow soldiers still doing what I do. And I tell you, I wanted to change their experience. I wanted them to know about Lifestyles Unlimited. And ironically, one of Sergeant Major Billy Wilson's best friends, we called him Junior. Junior was a guy that was on our team. He was the go-to guy. Yeah, the bottom line is, if it needed to get done, and I wasn't going to do it, and Billy wasn't going to do it, Junior was going to do it. Now, Junior, back then, he was a staff sergeant. This guy, he just got stuff done, and he did it correctly, he did it effectively and efficiently. And over time, he went to train to become a warrant officer. So when I saw him, he was a W-2. He's a warrant officer, he's an ordnance officer, probably the best of the best. And he said, hey, sir. I said, don't call me sir anymore. Just call me Al. And he goes, I know that's kind of hard. So Al, I go, what? What's up, Junior? He's like, I've been listening to your podcast. And I was like, what? You've been listening to my podcast? And he goes, yeah, you know what? Is it okay if I give you a call next week and maybe we can talk a little bit about this? And I'm like, absolutely. You should certainly call me. Do not hesitate. Call me. Let's talk about the possibilities. Let's talk about an exit strategy for you. Because what I'm concerned about is that Junior is going to do the same thing I did. He's going to do 20 years of active duty time because he's chasing that pension, because that's the only thing we knew. But now Junior's exposed to something else. You know, I was going to tell you about Ken. Holy smokes, I never got to it. Yeah, I got to tell you about Sarah too. We're going to go to break. I can cover both people because both people are going to tie this up really nice.
Now, from the files of Del Wamsley.
I own an apartment complex. That's what I do for a living. And we have employees. And needless to say, many of our maintenance men are Hispanic. Many of our leasing agents are Hispanic. And we've gone to them and offered them insurance plans. The insurance plan costs $600 a month. We'll pay $300 if you pay $300. I think we even offered to pay $400 if they pay $200, something like that. You know what their answer was? Every single one of them said, I don't want it. They don't want insurance. People don't value insurance when they're young. And so they never get used to buying it. It's not a part of their cost of living. So when you get older, especially if you're a labor worker, and life starts to take a toll on you, you're really kind of in trouble now. Now you're forced to continue to work. Why? Because you've never put that into your cost of living. You've never learned to pay for insurance. I was lucky. I started my retirement plan at 27, retired by the time I was 34. And at 34, I figured I don't have insurance. But then you got to go out and buy insurance. And I went out and bought insurance and just paid for insurance. That's all I did. I said, well, how did you pay for that? It's called making money.
We'll be back right after this.
Challenge is that you don't believe you can be rich, is that you don't believe you can retire within 5 years. That's half of your challenge. And until you can come up with that belief system, until you can reconcile that in your mind, you won't be willing to take the steps necessary to get there. So you need to get in here and meet some people.
Join us for the next free workshop and meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited that will share Del Wamsley's belief system and empower you to take the steps you need to be successful. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. All right, I've told you about a lot of people that I know that I have known for a good portion of my life. I mean, these are people I served with. These are people I grew up with. These are people I interacted with when I went back to California. And I really feel like I was kind of like an ambassador for Lifestyles Unlimited, because everybody that I saw, that I knew, that I respected, I just wanted to share with them the possibilities of doing something different than what they're doing. It's amazing. So my friend Doug, we're gonna have some conversations about what he should do. I think I planted the seed to indicate to him that he could sell that property. Let's say he gets $1.5 million for it. Let's say cost of sale and everything, he winds up with $1.4 million. If his basis is $1.1 million, he's going to get $500,000 tax-free, because the government says you can do that, and he met all the requirements to achieve that. So there's a $300,000 delta there. That $300,000 delta is not protected by the government saying, okay, you can sell your house and we're going to protect up to $500,000 of gain, not subject to capital gains, if you're married. Well, Doug and Florence are married, so they get $500,000 of gain. But the problem is they're going to have like $800,000 with the gain. Yeah, you tracking? So that $300,000 that's not protected, it is subject to capital gains taxes. Whatever the federal government decides capital gains taxes are on long-term assets, even though I told you his house is not an asset, he's going to pay that. He is also going to pay the state of California a capital gains tax. Yeah, because California, trust me, they got their tentacles deep into your pockets. Maybe he pulls an extra $200,000 out of there. So now he's got $700,000 in his hand, and he's homeless. So what does he do? Well, he's got a lot of options. He could take the $700,000, he could flee California, and he could buy a house much nicer than what he has right now, and probably in a very nice neighborhood. Now, he lives in a beautiful neighborhood, don't get me wrong, but you know, it's typical Southern California. Everybody's on a small little lot. Everybody's right next door to each other. Your neighbor's side yard is 4 feet away. But for that kind of money, he could come out to like a place like Texas, and he could get a house probably twice the size on much more land and not even spend the $700,000. Or he could do whatever it is he wants to do. Maybe he buys an RV and drives around the country. I don't know. But here's the thing. I would rather see him take that $700,000. And I'd also rather see him wreck his 401k. I would love to see him wreck his 401k and take all that money out. And trust me, I suggested that. And you should have seen Florence's face when I said that. She was like, are you serious? I'm like, oh, it's a heart attack. There's a lot of money there that Doug potentially has at his disposal, but all this money is doing really nothing for him. Okay, the 401k is kind of doing something. It's losing money right now. Here's where I left it with Doug. I said, just figure out how much money you could clear if you sold your house today, after you fix it up, of course, and you decided to cash in your 401k and charge yourself, say, 35% of the 401k in taxes. Take those two pools of money, put them together, and then figure out what 6% is on that money, because the assets that you will invest in are returning easily around 6%. Some are a little lower, some a little higher. It's just what the markets are doing right now. And you're going to get an annualized number. What I want you to do is ask yourself, can you live on that number? Keeping in mind that number is going to be protected to a certain extent, because you're going to have depreciation write-offs coming from these assets, which are just going to offset the tax liability, meaning you don't need as much money coming off those assets. In other words, if you're trying to replace a $100,000 salary, you really only need about $60,000. Actually less, if it gets the heck out of California. Yeah, because California is very expensive. I was just back there. Gas was like almost $2 a gallon more than it is here. It's crazy. Okay, the gas companies are probably making a couple of cents extra in California, but most of those are taxes. I want Doug to do that math, and then I want him to realize that in 3 to 5 years, that seed number has the potential to double. Yeah. Oh, I got to tell you about Sarah. Sarah's just a wonderful young woman, because just about everybody's younger than I am nowadays. And Sarah went through my OCS program. So I knew her when she went through the OCS program, and that's Officer Candidate School, by the way. And she did a phenomenal job. She was honor grad and everything like that. And so when she commissioned, I made sure that I got her into my unit, because I just like having the best of the best. And that's the way it worked out. So anyhow, when we went back there, we stayed at Sarah's house, and Sarah and my wife, Tina, are very, very good friends. And, you know, they built a house in the Central Coast of California. That house probably is worth, I think I looked it up, it's about $1.2 million. I know they've got a lot of equity in there. And Sarah made a decision after the birth of her second child not too long ago. She's going to leave the military. She elected to resign, even though she is ready to be promoted and they want to promote her. She's like, you know what? I'm just done. I'd rather spend time with my family. So we talked a little bit about real estate, and we talked about the fact that probably in the next year that they're going to sell their house, her and her husband, Nathan, they'll sell that house. They'll make some money. They'll get that $500,000 exclusion, and they're leaving California. They're looking at Nevada. They've got family up in Northern Nevada. And I said, do not exclude Texas. You guys need to come out this year, stay with us, and I want you to see what's out here in Texas. So there's a situation where somebody is fleeing California because they're just fed up with California. They're fed up with the things that happen in California, especially on the political side. And they're leaving and they want to go somewhere else. And I want them to become Lifestyles Unlimited members because I don't want Sarah to try and live off of a pension, which provides her one third of what she was making on active duty. I tried that and it failed. I don't want her doing that. And even though her husband is a very talented HVAC guy, that's what he does. But he also knows electricity because you kind of need to know about electricity. He's been studying it and he can go ahead and work. Again, he's self-employed. So his business model requires him to actually go out and do the work. And if he's not there to turn the key to the business, well, there is no work to do. I want to talk to you about Ken. Now, I did not go out to California to hang out with Ken. As a matter of fact, Ken is somebody that I met as a Lifestyles Unlimited member. Yeah, Ken is he's kind of a brilliant dude. Let me just give you some background on this guy. He's got an MBA. He's been like the director of sales for a global account manager for a big tech company. I mean, he used to trade deals $10 to $25 million at a time. He was a VP of operations, VP of sales and marketing. So what I'm getting at is this guy's track record in corporate America is that he was a mover and a shaker. And he came to Lifestyles Unlimited specifically to figure out how he could step away from that corporate experience, that corporate grind. Well, his time and attention was going to the corporation. And he didn't want that anymore. So he came to Lifestyles Unlimited specifically to find out how to invest in real estate. Because the things that we shared with him over the radio, like I'm doing with you right now, they made sense to him. Now, Ken became a member. And I will tell you this, Ken got busy buying properties. Now, Ken lives in California. Yeah, he's a Californian, but the majority of his investments are not in California. As a matter of fact, the majority of his investments are in places outside of California. He has assets that he owns in Arizona. He has assets that he owns in Texas. Now, he does have a couple of properties that he owns in California, and these are properties that he bought prior to being a Lifestyles Unlimited member. Ken has sat down and he's looked at those assets and he realized that he could actually do better if he traded those assets in for the residential types of assets. See, he's got some commercial properties, but they're not residential. And he realizes that he can get better returns if he swaps those properties out. So he's working on a transition plan to do all of that. Now, in the meantime, Ken, he's not working for corporate America anymore. No, because he was able to do the things that he needed to do to essentially wreck his corporate America gig. And although he's a little nervous, like Doug and Flop, a little nervous when we mention, hey, why don't you tap that 401k? You got a couple bucks in there. Because the first thing that you think of when I say tap your 401k is that I'm going to lose just a ton of money on taxes and fees. It's true. You have to pay the taxes. Now, we actually have vendors that can help you avoid paying the 10% penalty, but you're going to have to pay the taxes. I hate to break it to you, but you're going to pay the taxes whether you cash it in today or you start cashing it in the future. We're at the end of the show. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about Ken, and we're going to talk about Ken tomorrow. The whole show is going to be about what Ken is doing. I'm going to tell you something about Ken. The information you hear is going to change your life. Go to lifestylesunlimitedworkshops.com. Get signed up. Let's get you started.
It's not just the money. It's the lifestyle. Here's Del Wamsley.
What happens is people buy real estate and they have no idea what they're doing, right? So maybe they don't pay, they don't buy it cheap and capture equity. Maybe they pay full price for it. Maybe they even pay too much for it, all right? Maybe they don't even know how to lease it. They rent it to their friend or their family member, they don't make any money with it. Maybe they're too stupid to put debt on it. Maybe they paid cash for it, so there's no principal reduction on the thing. Maybe they don't even put any money into it to fix it up to make it worth more. But over a period of time, real estate, like all things, appreciates. Now, what do you think it's going to do in this inflationary era that we're living in right now? I'll tell you what it's doing. It's going through the roof. It's going up faster than I've ever seen real estate go in my entire life. Now, when I started real estate, the single family house median price was $50,000. I was buying houses for $25,000. When I got out of doing single family houses, the median price was $75,000. We were buying them for $40,000 or $50,000. Now, the median price is $331,000. And we're buying houses for somewhere around $150,000 to $170,000. Same game, different price point.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
Information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.